Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Dua whether it is for a dini reason or a dunya reason, you will say it's part of your deen. Though you are asking for something that is worldly, right? The reason is that Allah Ta'ala has commanded you to ask. قَالَ رَبُّكُمُ الْأُونِي. And the statement is general. Ask me. When He's commanded you to ask, then whether you're asking for deen or whether you're asking for dunya, then this will amount to deen. Similarly, we are encouraged to recite Durood Sharif in the dua. So this will not amount to a personal motive, khudgarz motive. Because the dua is like the Durood Sharif is like confirming the acceptance. How do you prove that the acceptance is confirmed? Because durood is never rejected. When durood is not rejected, then whatever is been asked with durood sharif will also be accepted. So as long as what you are asking for is not against the sharia, then the dua is permissible, the dua is right. So you shouldn't think now that, you know, is it appropriate for me to make this dua? As long as the dua that you're asking is of a permissible nature. An impermissible nature, then obviously, Nuh alayhi salam had first invited his son. Irkam ma'ana wala takum ma'al kafirin. So the floods have started off. And he's admonishing his son, come with us, join us. Don't be with the kafirs. See? Now, just being with the kafir, how dangerous it is. So you get a kafir mind, kafir thinking, kafir ways, kafir culture. Just being around with it, right? All these things that we hear now, modernism, then it is nice to see the root where it's coming from. It's all coming from the kufr, the kafirs, America, London, that's where it's coming from. And then the strange thing is we are using it. Like the words that I normally quote, you know, modernism, judgmental, agree to disagree, don't segregate, take photos, right? So all these things got its roots in the West. And then what happens to us is that it becomes so common that we'll just brush it off and say it's a controversial thing, there's some differences of opinion. So it became permissible for you to sit with girls, snap with them, eat with them. And if someone is not doing that, you see he's breaking off one premise. See that? It's all shaitanic. He's breaking away from the beast of the Lord's room, that's all right, but he mustn't break from the family. There's a famous Indian poet, you know. So he used to write in the praise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So a Persian poet saw his kalam and was fascinated. So he took the trouble to come to India to meet the poet. As he came in, he saw that the poet is getting his beard shaved. So he asked him, Aka chemikuni, sir, what are you doing? So he says, Rish mitarasham, but dilekasena mitarasham. I'm shaving off my beard, but I'm not breaking anybody. Not breaking relationship, not hurting anybody. So that was the answer the Indian poet gave. What many Indians think in this way. Today they think the same. Don't break. So the Persian poet says, Walakin dile Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mitarashi. But what you're doing is, you're breaking the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To join up here, you're breaking him. Akal mein aane wali baat hai. Is that making sense? So, you're joining the family because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. But now, because of the family, you're breaking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where's the reason? So all these things, tolerance, have religious tolerance, all that, all coming from, you trace it, it's coming from one source. And then strangely, all people are using these things here. Same phrases. It's just, you need to take the time to go and see where it's coming from. So if you see, if you read up on this interfaith movement, multi-faith movement, you say the same words are used. And the multi-faith or interfaith is it started from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or from the Sahaba kiram, Muhaddisin. Shaitan started off, all this kafir started off. So now, what you are saying actually is from now, they will codify your deen. They will explain your deen. Who? Shaitans. Multi-faith, interfaith, they will codify. They say, judgmental, no segregation, mix up, be friendly, have religious tolerance. So whatever they say, you will just echo their sentiments. Same things. What they're spewing out, you will say the same thing. See? So how much more gullible can you become? How much more gullible? So when the poet says, Dile Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Mitarashi, you are breaking the heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now what was the Indian poet's response? He said, Jazakallah, chashmam, baz mikuni, ba jane jana. He says, Jazakallah, you opened my eyes. You joined me to the beloved. But it was today, right? So now my niyat is right. I got no evil in my heart, and rather than you judging my actions, you must see my heart. So today is modern, that's Muslim, modern shaitanic Islam. It's shaitan, but they call it Islam. And now, as we're sitting here, there was some ulama that came from Nigeria. So I asked them, what's the population of the Muslims in Nigeria? So they told me about 70 million. I said, then, how much are practicing and what's the type of practice? You know, about 25 million are Chrislam. So I said, what is Chrislam? No, they reconciled Islam and Christianity all together. Now, can that work? Then I told this ulama, but you're not expressing any sentiments. You know, this thing has happened to over 25 million people of your kind. And I can't see you people showing any sentiments. And really, they didn't have any concern about it. You know, one is, uska kya karna chahiye, what should it. So all this thing is coming from one end, the satanic group. You see the beginning, very starting from one group. They're pushing the thing. And then, if you don't have ulama are talking against it, then you will be also, in a few days, you'll be the same. So we're talking of Nuh alayhi salam, and we're talking of dua, we just branched off, right? So, Nuh alayhi salam is telling his son, don't be with the kafirs. See, you will think like that, you will work like that, you will operate like that. Don't be with them. Until then, perhaps Nuh alayhi salam didn't understand, didn't know that he was not a Muslim. So he was showing a Muslim front. And because he was showing a front, so Nuh alayhi salam told him, come and join us. In all innocence, right? And he was persistent, see. So, see, when you do all these things here, then Allah Ta'ala sets out a trial. In the trial, it becomes clear that whose side you are in. See? So you're not left. You're playing first a balancing role. This side, that side, this side, that side. Then a trial comes in. When the trial comes in, then it is seen. يَمِيزَ اللَّهُ خَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ Allah Ta'ala sifts out the filth from the pure. يَمِيزَ اللَّهُ خَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ This happens always. Like you see in Uhud, right? The Muslims are 1,000. And midway to the Uhud, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he said, you all didn't listen to my suggestion. I asked you all to fight from Medina, and you all going out, right? So what's the need for me to participate? Midway now, and took 300 of his people and returned. See that? So Allah Ta'ala sifts it out. So where's your allegiance? See? Even a liking for these people, even their ways, you're supposed to have ever discussed. Well, that famous story you always hear. The man just had a liking for Christian ways, right? That you don't take a farz ghusl. And you hear what happened after that. Don't you hear that? Just a liking. He didn't end up practicing, it would seem like, namazi in the Haram Sharif, but just a liking for Christian practices. And then, natija kya hua? They buried him in Makkah Mukarramah and find him in his corpse in London. See that? But just a liking for that. So how important it is to nurture that mind, our mind, the minds of our young, in Islamic values, not in these kufar values. So this son of Nuh alayhi salam is being with them. As he's being with them, he liked their ways. So he says, no, I can't board the ship. So I'll be eligible. So you see the true color. At that crucial time, at that crunch time, the true color he showed, you see. No, I'll just climb over a mountain. I don't need you. See that? يَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ Allah Ta'ala sifts the dirt, the filth, from the purity. Now, everything is over now. قِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ بْلَعِي مَاءَكِ Who was supposed to be drowned, they drowned. Who was supposed to be on the ark and saved, he was saved. قِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ بِاللَّعِي مَعَكِ Now Allah Ta'ala commands, the earth now swallow your water. وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِي And all heavens withhold your water. وَغِيدَ الْمَاءُ وَقُدْيَمَ The water abated, all settled, finished down. وَقِيلَ بُعْدًا لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ Then Allah sounded the curse. Zalims, may they be distanced. They may be distant. Distant from what? Distant from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Now, it's blood now. Nuh alayhi salam and his son, right? It's blood. So everybody has a feeling for blood. So Nuh alayhi salam is saying, إِنَّ بْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي My son is my household. And وَإِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌ And your promise is true, is genuine. So he's interceding for his son. Why is he interceding? Because he's his household. And Allah Pak guaranteed that the household will be saved. فَاسْلُكْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّنْ زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ وَأَهْلَكْ. So you take on board every species, take a pair of every species. So the she and the he, all species. There are those animals that cannot live in water. So the animals that cannot live in water, take a pair of each of that animal, like goats, sheep, etc. Man needs, and they can't live on water. And your household. So here the household is meant the household in Islam. What? The Muslim household. Now, Nuh alayhi salam said, Inna ahli min ahli. Inna ibni min ahli. He's my household, right? And your promise is true. So Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. He is not of your household because his behavior, his conduct is not right. His ways are not right. See, he wanted to be with the kafirs and he liked their ways. He doesn't like segregating, he likes integrating. He doesn't like a clean Islamic atmosphere and ethos. He likes all this thing here. That's what he likes. So then he must be with them then. If you love them now, love their ways, then be with them then. That conduct was not right. Where the Quran and the Hadith is saying, they must be at home. So you saying that the woman must emerge, come out of the homes, go and study, go into university, etc. So when you like all their ways, when you like their ways, then be with them. So where is this coming from? It's coming from them. Right? Where that woman was, the Muslim woman was content, and she was wanting to go with the husband, right? Whatever the husband says, we'll do it, content, obedient, humble, right? Now, the West is telling her, go and study and learn to stand up for your rights. What's telling you? Go and study, and then you learn to stand up for your rights. That's what they're telling. So when they're going to be standing up for their rights, then I say, then will that be a peaceful home? Will that be a Muslim home? It'll be a Christian, Western orientated. So this is a very serious thing, where that person just likes Christianity, something of Christianity. So okay, good Lord, I don't want you. Lived in the haram, performing namaz there, and you know how, what a pathetic situation. A man lived in the haram, performing namaz there, but he's listed amongst the kafirs. What is he lived in the kafirs and listed amongst the kafirs? And what is he living within the Islamic fraternity, and then he's listed amongst the kafir? What a pathetic thing. Just for liking their ways. Just for liking their ways. So see, the لا تكون من الكافرين. So now, Allah is warning him, ليس من أهلك. He is not of your household. Why? His conduct is not right. Then the third line of advice, لا تسألني ما ليس لك به. Don't make dua for things that you don't know. You know, so a Nabi has to be even cautious in his dua as well. Under normal circumstances, we say, make dua. But things that are not right, لا تسألني ما ليس لك به. Things that are not right, you don't make dua for that. See? Things that are right, you can make dua. But things that are not right, you don't make dua. Someone said, I make dua, Allah Pak make me a Nabi. Is it right? says, no, Allah will make me a farishta, an angel. Is it right? So things that are not right, you don't make dua for such things. So the ulama say here, that when people ask you for dua, then you don't make dua for anything and everything. You don't make dua for anything and everything. Now the man came and said, opening up a patent court for women, make dua, it goes successful. One man came, we're opening up a school, integrated, make dua, get the money and it runs. It's Muslim. Just put an Islamic, it's all Muslim. Muslim bank, Muslim anything, everything comes right. No matter what haram you do after that. Now, to make dua for the things that are right, see, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ. What is not right, you don't ask dua for such things. Inni a'izuka an takuna min al-jahili. The Shaykh Ramatari, so his children, grandchildren, it was the standard, right? They will serve the mihman on guests not coming in all the time. So they will lay out the food, clear the dasturkhan, wash the utensils. Then they became all big, what they see and all that, right? But in that day, they were hafiz and they were ulama, but young. So all the sulh khidmat they're doing. And they're doing a good job. So, one of the guests, he made dua, Allah bak aapke bachche ko kitne hushyar hai, Allah ta humko doctor bana le, PhD bana le. Now look at the Shaykh's response, for his immediate response. He says, bas is lanat ke liye mere hi bachche reh gaye. Is lanat ke liye kya mere hi bachche reh gaye. For this curse, you didn't find anybody else but my children. See, he took it personally. See that? See that? So he doesn't want anything to do with the kuffar style. Their style, their standards, their ways, their behavior. He doesn't want. He says, so Allah brings up on an occasion and then you get sorted out, you know, which camp you belong to, who you belong to. Allah will not just leave you. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He will not just spare you. عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلِيْهِ. As you are living your life, He's not going to leave you. He's going to set up trials. In the trials, Allah is going to see, alright, where your leanings are, this side, that side, where you are. Now then look at Nur Islam now. When Allah Ta'ala admonished him, what he had to say. So his immediate response was, بِإِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنَسْأَلَكَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ. Before Allah Ta'ala, no justification. What? No justification, not making up story. إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنَسْأَلَكَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ. Allah Ta'ala, I ask your refuge. In future, I mustn't ask things that are not right. Now, I've committed a mistake. Right? Though the Nabi is innocent, and the mistake was because he didn't know it right. That was a mistake. Right? So Allah warned him, in future, things that are not right, you don't make dua for that. Immediately, أَوْزِبِي كَنْ أَسْأَلَكَ مَا لِي سَلِبِي. It's not right, Allah asks refuge, that I must not make dua about things that I have no knowledge, right? وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي أَكُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. If you don't forgive me and bless me, I'll be ruined. See that? See? But isn't that, there's so many things for us to learn from this. When that mistake is brought, then what's supposed to be the mind? Our elders say, you know, I said, لا شرقية ولا غربية. That olive oil is a blessed oil, right? because of its multiple or abundant uses, so much of good, right? So it's called a Mubarak oil. Shadaratin zaytunatin mubarakatin la sharqiyatin wa la gharbiya. And then that olive that doesn't have an eastern aspect nor a western aspect, so it gets the sun throughout the day, so the quality of the oil will be best. Sharqiyatin wa la gharbiya yakatu zaytuha yudi'u. And if you look at the purity of the oil, it's like luminous. No, it's like shining. Even fire didn't get it, but it's showing that it's luminous. Right? So our elders are saying, see this eastern and western, right? The eastern got an attitude. They call it chaplosi, what? In English, you'll say. The colloquial word is you butter up the person, what? Butter the person. Maybe the other word is that you pamper. What's the other word? Flatter, yeah. So the eastern way is flatter the person. So there's different ways to flatter. Bribery, corruption, all of things to flatter a person. That's an eastern way. So la sharqiyatin wa la gharbiya. Muslim's way must not be having an eastern aspect. No flattery. Wa la gharbiya, and the western way is a way of deception. Right? So they put you into a corner and then deceive you. And you look at this whole Epstein thing, right? So if you think about the thing, it's a deception, right? So they have to get them involved to manipulate them, isn't it? Get this person involved, that person involved. But what's the idea? After you got them involved, then hamare baaye haath ka khel ho jayega. Then you can just manipulate them. So our Islam got no eastern aspect, no western aspect, no flattery, and no corruption, no deception. Because with this flattery, person will come to know, right? He's been so nice to me, our Ustad, one of Miraj Sahib Rahmatullahi. He must have thought he died in Deoband for about 45 years, or more than that, from Umarji's time to our time. So he was in charge of the admissions in Deoband. So the admission in Deoband is like a difficult process. You can't just get an admission. Now you have to write, before it was just oral. So anyway, one student came up and he brought desi ghee. Now, in India, desi ghee is like something very, very pricey. Right? Scarce, pricey. Pure ghee, no dilution, no mixture, right? You just open that can and you get the smell. It's so nice, you know? So now one student came in, old student, and said, Hazrat, ye aapke liye. And said, no, I don't accept it. So my walid sahab ki taraf se hai, naraz ho jayenge. So my father will be disappointed if you don't accept it. So they say, well, I see, leave it top on that shelf. Left it. But 1 week later, he came with another boy. I said, uska dakhla ho jaye. This is a new student, and enrolled him. He's in charge of the admissions. So he's relaxed, not disturbed. So just get that ghee. Just get it here, or take it back, know what you want. See that? So the eastern flattery comes in different ways. different ways. It can happen to anybody. Now you give on bayan, and perhaps you spoke something, right, that was against a particular person. You realized it or you didn't realize it. But it amounted to you speaking against someone, right? So that person is this person's enemy. So he's praising him. MashaAllah, what a bayan, what a top bayan. These are the things we need. Because it went against his enemy. Because it went against the enemy, so he's flattering you, see. So the flattering can come with words as well. You know that English man, they also mix it up, sometimes deceiving, sometimes flattery. Best religion is Islam, and worst is Muslims. Didn't they say that? So all these are flattering words. So neither the Eastern flattery nor the Western deception. Then you are straight. And if you're getting influenced by Eastern or Western, then can you be straight? And this thing, they surface sooner or later. People begin to realize it. People begin to see it. They watch it. And then what happens then? Your credentials are gone. They don't respect you after that. You see, now, this person can be bought off. You just give him a story, see him write and all that, and you can just manipulate the person. I'm talking of now the facts, you know. What really happens. So this wealth, it's a very slippery thing. Very, very slippery thing. One person had one estate, you know, must start to work out. So Mothaisa worked it out. Now, it went against his interest. When it went against his interest, he's complaining to Mullah, you know, for the years, you know, I've been bringing gifts for you and respecting you. And now, I got a problem here. You couldn't do something for me. You couldn't do it, my favor. So, Mullah is very disheartened. So that means all the favors you did so that I can make adjustments on the Sharia for you. See now people's minds. So, that position is quite a difficult position. So the person standing up, you must be able to speak freely. Say it, you don't have to hurt people, but say the truth. Qul al-haq. Say it. Or as some people, they need to be dosed slowly, right? Give them dosage, but slowly. But now to mix up things, to confuse people, you know? Now that's dangerous. See? So we're talking about dua, right? So the one side of dua is covered, right? As long as it is not something that is wrong, right? Something that will, wrong means anything that will distract you from Allah Ta'ala. See? Wrong is a haram, or it will distract you. See? So there may be something that may be permissible in its nature, but it's going to distract you. Right now you are in an area which is now Islamic friendly. Islamic friendly area, right? The Muslims, the Azan is going, and you see namaz time, people are there, because Jamaat's operating, right? Now you're making dua to live in a gated state. All wealthy people there, one person is a gay this side, that person is an atheist, next person is a Christian, one person is a Satanist, So now you're making dua for living in this type of a place. Is that distracting or not? If you give a cover of soil, no, I'll work on them. The heart is in this filth, and you have to give a cover of story. Before you know it, and you will be relaxed, you know. And you say, no, but this religious freedom, you know, must be tolerant. Now, tell me just in a few years, what will happen to your children? In Mabsood's Imam Muhammad Rahmatullah's quotation, his quotation appears, right? You know, POC must be relaxed, tolerant, etc. And there is a lot of gunjaish now in the Sharia, right? But there is the other side of it as well. If there is some relaxation, there are some firm laws as well. So are we only looking at the relaxation and overlooking that, or are we looking at both? So Imam Muhammad Ramadan's quotation is there, that in a non-Muslim land, what they say, Darul Harb, right? In a non-Muslim land, even to sleep with your wife is makruh tahrimi, near haram, right? In a non-Muslim land, even to sleep with your wife is makruh tahrimi. Because the child is going to be born, he's going to be born in a kuffar atmosphere, in an ambiance of kufr. So the child that is born in that type of ambiance, will he be influenced or not? Now, we took all the things that are for ease and relaxation, right? But then we look at this. You quoted La Riba, Bain al-Muslim wal-Harbi, Fidha al-Harb. But this quotation of Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi, do you speak about it? But you see now we have a selective attitude. So you make dua for these type of things, obviously not right. When you go and live such a place, and then you thought about yourself, one generation, what happens to your children? What happens to your thinking? One old Jamaat member is telling old. So he says they went to one of these gates of the state. So they got permission because they had the address of one person, and he allowed them. Anyway, whilst they're in there, so they discovered that his cousin is living there. His cousin, blood cousin, first cousin is living there. Now, without that whole formality, you know, there was protocol, go and ask permission from the gate, then come in, then go to the house. So they bypassed that protocol, and they went to his cousin. So the cousin, he called the guard, said, escort them out now. But you see this? See this kuffar culture? And you don't even realize that you became a victim of this culture. Deen is something else. Everything is something else. But that culture, see? So now how important it is for us when we're living in a Muslim minority to preserve. How important it is. So that was one aspect. The other thing was that last Ahyini Miskina. Sometimes people complain that I don't feel making dua, you know. I don't feel like making dua. Sometimes it's not feeling to make dua, and sometimes you in a hurry, you want it and you want it now. So he says the ilaj for that, the cure for that, you don't feel like making dua, is persist, keep making dua. As you persist, khud ba khud dil lagega. You keep asking, keep asking. When you keep asking, then you will see that دل لگ جائے گا. And then when things are not working out straight away, in all the cases, or in most cases, your du'as are answered, but it's not appropriate for you to get the result straight away. There's something that you don't know of. So it's not the appropriate thing for your du'a to be answered straight away. Because you don't know the future. I know when I came here, 79, 80 I came. So one doctor from town now, he was bitter that he proposed for a certain girl, and he was very friendly with the girl's father, but the father just turned it off. It didn't work out for him. Now most of these stories I'm telling you, we're all dead now, finished, right? So they can't know, nobody will know who I'm talking about. So the girl's father just turned off the, brushed it off. He was very bitter about it. Anyway, he got married elsewhere, and that girl got married elsewhere that he was interested in. So that girl's children turned out a little bit weak, although intelligent, but physically a little bit weak. And his children from this other girl, bright, strong, capable, right? Now that took about 22 years to see. So the time he was complaining, then he got married, then both children, they came up and they surfaced, right? Now for that to surface, it took 22 years. Then ask him, Dr. Sahab, you know this person, yeah, all these, you know, people that are close to him. Now do you want to absorb my stupidity, my naivety? I couldn't see that. See, so some things that you get to see straight away. Some things you get to understand after time. So if you didn't surface straight away, so don't complain, I'm making dua, not making dua, but dua is not getting, the dua is not answered. But Allah Pak is giving you something what's better for you. Not what you think is better, but what really is better for you. So that will come with time. But now, you don't have to see the result straight away. The result will come afterwards. See, the work of Allah that goes on like that. You don't see results straight away. You know, you say, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. Right? So the conquest and people coming into Islam in crowds, right? يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ, coming into Islam in crowds. So when did this take place? After 21 years, what? It was 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah, right? And the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah is on the 8th year, right? In the 8th year. Huh? And then Wara'it and Nasi at Khuruna, and it's just about 2.5 or 3 years before Nabi Sam could leave the world. So they made dua, right? For Islam, the prosperity, all that. But the dua got answered after 21 years, 2 years before. But now, was it the right thing for them to leave the effort? Carry on. Oh, you're going for gush. Allah Pak forgive me. No, when I came, so the madrasa wasn't there, so I used to go for gush. I like to go. Or any house, poor, wealthy, anybody. Now, that time, I didn't have the madrasa responsibilities, so go out. I can still remember, I don't mention the name, right? Going for gush, they laugh you out, and they poke fun. But those people became zimmedars, or hum baith gaye. Imagine. So you don't rush to see results. You do your work. How the elders told you, their hidayat, there's a lot of wisdom in that, just do your work. In that mulaqat, all your humility grows. You go, and they're jeering you, they're teasing you, right? They're doing all these things here. So your sifat are growing up. Now, you're not there to decide why they're not coming in. So here, the conquest of Makkah took after 21 years. That effort now, and they began to see the results of the investment after 21 years, 2 years before Nabi Sam could leave the world. But because it's going to be a delayed process, was it the right thing to leave the effort? Carry on your effort. And I say, why? You just make an adjustment to the mind that we're working for the cause, right? See now, one thing that will bring your spirits up, right? You see, Isa al-Islam's time, everybody will become Muslim, right? Before Isa al-Islam is not Mahdi, right? And there will be a lot of change then also, right? But if you made up your mind, you're working for the same cause. So whether you see the time or you don't see the time, won't you get a share of that investment? I say, hey, I must get Imam Mahdi's time. I must get Isa al-Islam's time. Now, right? It's nice to desire for that. But now, if it happens in your lifetime, imma nuriyannaka ba'd alladhi na'idhum, wa natawaffayannaka. Either we show you, or we take you away before that. But you change your intention, what? That I'm working for that cause. That Islam must just surpass every boundary, all must come into Islam, right? And the day it happened, won't you get your proportion, share of sawab? Won't you get that? A little bit of a change of adjustment of the niyat. You see, na ujlat ho, or na dil lage phir bhi dua karte raho. And then the last thing was, ahini miskina. Let me live as a miskin, die as a miskin, and raise me up as a miskin. Now, can this hadith now work in a gated state? Ask yourself, in all honesty, can it work? Ji? Is this a select class there? After some time, your mind will be like that. In a few years, your mind will be just the same, exactly the same. Your children will be mixing up with them. Madrasa, masjid all become a secondary thing. And recreation becomes the goal of your life. Today you're going for pedal, tomorrow you're going for tennis, going outing. That becomes the main thing in your life. And all deen, everything becomes a secondary thing. So here, ahyini miskina, let me leave you as a miskin, die and be raised with them. Right? Because yadkhulu fuqara'ul muhajirina khamsa mi'ata sanatin qabla al-aghniya. These poor will enter into Jannah 500 years before the wealthy. But now, we're all living in it, but or won't say poor areas, but a little bit better areas. Right? But now, how we can also get that virtue? So this is maqaman naho, lekin akhlaqan ho. You don't have to be throwing away your wealth, but your akhlaq, make your akhlaq, and bring your standards, your akhlaq, etc., like the poor person. Don't live it up. In Deoband there was Sayyid Azhar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi, quite a wealthy person. Very wealthy in Deoband. But he put up a home to match the homes in that area. So Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, they told him once, there was his student, whether he could have just put better material, and that house would be lasting, you know. You don't have to repeat, you have to attend to it every year, you know. You know, that time, they had mud home. So every the monsoon rains come, so you have to attend to the house again. So first, moratorium is a good idea. have a nice structure so that you don't have to keep refurbishing all that. Thereafter he explained him, because now he don't want to break the student. Like, you know, you speak to people in installments, slowly, slowly. I said, Master, see, the place I'm living, hundreds of homes here, all are the same, right? Like, amongst these people, I put up a mansion here. The in logo ka dilo ka kya ho jayega? What will happen to their feelings? Won't they feel disappointed at their poverty, that they can't afford something like this? And don't I have a duty towards my neighbor? وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِشِي وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانَ وَبِذِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْذَنْبِ. Three neighbors, right? So we just disregard that. So now, I'm going to live in this condition here. So I'm being considerate to them. I'm respecting their feelings. And I will build up some level of humility within me. And so my children, sometimes I may have that humility, but does that mean that the children and the household also will have that? I will have it, I'll try, right? But is that a guarantee for my children and all that? See? So the easier thing is, you live like them. You don't have to throw away your wealth, live that humble life, easy life. So in that humility, you learn a lot of things. You know, you get a lot of people coming here. So now you get the average, the wealthy and the poor. Sometimes the average will say, but the neighbors now, they're going for all, every now and then they're going for all, flying here, flying there. So when they come from the holiday, so they show the snaps, this way we went, this way we went, this is what we ate. Now these people, they can't afford that. So how do they feel? See? How do they feel? Do they feel pleasant about it? They feel miserable about the poverty, that I can't afford this thing here, and they can afford it. See? In the meanwhile, the child becomes addicted to this type of a lifestyle. Then to break away from the lifestyle, is it an easy thing? Furthermore, Thamisabhanda says, a couple of good places he says this. He says that becoming addicted to a lifestyle, you know, it deprives you from a lot of dini khidmat. Now, you want those luxuries to be able to live there. Now, I could tell you, go and work in the jondos for 10 days. Stay there. Can you, they got a good security, but can you live? So it deprives you from a lot of dini khidmat. But you lived a simple life, so Allah creates opportunities for you. You can work amongst the wealthy, average and poor. But in the meanwhile, all your sifat, learning sifat, you know, to be humble, to be doing khidmat, to learn humility, to listen to some of the reprimanding. So I'll just end up with one small story, right? So one of Durban's wealthier persons, you know, we had about 15-20 people that are very wealthy. So some of them come here. So I told him, you know, it would be good for you that you go out in Jamaat. So he went to Hilal, they put him on Cape Town Jamaat. He came after that 10 days, he said, not again. Chacha, what happened? So he says, after further they did the washing and they left it on the line to dry. Then Abbas time is a talim time. So I got up about 8-9 o'clock, so I saw those clothes are all dry. So I told him, you know, but it's clothes dry now, you can clean it off. It's not your clothes. It's not on your way, so don't worry about that. But that is too much for you. Because he, literally speaking, he got about 500 staff. Now for him to listen to this type of a thing from a poor person, it became a big issue. See, but that's what I wanted. I wanted for you to learn a little bit of humility. Like up to now, we are bossing all these people, right? Now, one of them just told you one thing and you can't digest it. See, one of them, you were bossing them for all the time, right? 500 people you got under you. And one person had to tell you one thing, you can't take it. See? So the sifat you can't learn on your own. You have to go with this type of crowd. And then Allah creates more opportunities for you. You see the life of the Sahaba Kiram, Makkah Mukarrama, here, crying stones on the stomach, etc. So Allah could have given them, but why did Allah want them to go on to this? The sifat, you see, that are there. Humility, to be able to work with these people. And in any work, in any dini work, most of the people that cooperate actively is the poor, or the average. The ultra wealthy that comes in, mashallah, shabas, don't worry, we are with you, don't worry. That means, you know, any financial support with you. So they don't want to be there actively. Very selective will be, one, two, eleven. But the average and the poor, they join you up. Allah Pak Tawfiq is given.